I'm going to do my best to stay seated. I should have done what when my kids were rambunctious in their ages. I was known to get a rope and tie them to their seat at meal time. So when they got up, at least they'd be going like this, you know. So some told me I needed that last week, but it's hard for me to sit still. Thanks again for all of your well wishes and prayers as I continue to recover and rehab and get my energy level back up. Thank you. So good to have you all here by any and all means. What's incredible is we have so many people that travel during this this weekend, Easter week, with school being out, and more people are tuning in from afar, and we're grateful. So 26 years, I've been talking about the same thing on Easter. I'm telling you, it gets harder and harder to come up with a fresh message, but yet we don't have to, do we? It's to proclaim the living Christ. So I want to try to take a little different angle because we've been talking in the three services, the three messages about Easter love. The first was that Jesus saves, and that's what Easter love does. It's a saving power and how Jesus went about that. We talked about last week about how that's going to be born out in our lives, and that is we become people who serve. Jesus came to serve, and we want to follow that. And today, we want to think about Easter Sunday, about Jesus sharing. So we're remembering and celebrating this glorious Easter day together. I got to say it. Joel said it, but let's say it again. Let's do it a couple times. I felt we needed to raise the volume again. He is risen. What do you say?
He is risen.
Okay. That was a warm-up. That was a post-warm-up. I said, He is risen. Don't ever forget it. Easter's about remembering that Jesus came into this world to show us, to demonstrate the love of the Father. He came to save, serve, and share. Easter love is all about life-giving change and transformation. This familiar verse, the last part of it in John 10:10, the B part of the verse, Jesus said, now, Jesus said, this is available, this is possible because of what he did. He said, I have come that they, this is us, I put parenthetically, may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Do you have direction? Do you have significance today? That's what Jesus wants for you. That's what Easter week and weekend made possible. Where are you? And we'll close with that at the end, but we all have to answer that question in some way that I posed on Friday, Good Friday night. He came to give us a full life, which is a life of significance, where we can receive his love and pour it out wherever we go. It's without knowing and experiencing the love of the Father, loving God, loving people, living transformed is impossible, will never happen. But Jesus came so that these things could be a reality. Does your life have significance? If it does, you have to be living for something more than today or tomorrow or next week or next month. I reminded you last week that Jesus said of himself in Luke 4:43, he said, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God. That is why I was sent. Did you know that he came to create the story that we'd be telling and talking about for 26 consecutive years, that we'd be sharing in our daily lives? That's why Jesus was sent, to create the story of God's love. And here's another expression of that good news, and I have never read it in that with that thought in mind, but in Mark 9:31, part of that verse, it picks up, this is good news. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of his enemies. He will be killed, but, could you say but? 3 days later, he will rise from the dead. Does that sound like good news to you? He couldn't have come out of the tomb if he hadn't gone to the cross. Is anybody glad that the cross and the tomb are empty today? John 12:32. I alluded to it last week. And when I, Jesus speaking, am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself. That happened as Jesus said it would. And how many of you know it's still happening? Because people around the world are still streaming to the cross and streaming to Jesus. And it is the evidence of a resurrected Christ in our lives, living in us and through us. That's what has a huge impact on people that we know and people that we love. So Easter love is about Jesus sharing, and it's about sharing it, not only him but us. And I want to set the stage. Remember this in Luke 7. How did Jesus come? He didn't come the way people were expecting him, and he still doesn't. We're looking there, and how many of you know he comes here? He kind of sneaks up on us sometime, doesn't he? But he comes. So look at this in the terms of Easter from the New Century Version, Luke 7:34. It says, "The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you say, 'Look at him. He eats too much and drinks too much wine, and he is a friend of tax collectors and sinners of all things.'" Is anybody in this room and watching today glad that he chose to be a friend of sinners? We wouldn't be here had he not come. But then interestingly, the next verse said, but wisdom, in other words, no matter what the people said or thought, wisdom is proved to be right by what it does. In other words, Jesus didn't say it alone. He lived it. Boy, is that true for us. The resurrection that we proclaim with our life, it's not just what we say, but it's shown the virtue in how we live. So I'd summarize this to say this, that Jesus came to hang out and do life with real people. That's what he did. And he was criticized for it. But he had to have his boots on the ground, his sandals on the ground, so to speak, to show the love of the Father. And he did all that he did. How? In the context of relationships. Think about it. Everywhere he went, not only with his disciples, but all through his life, his earthly ministry. And it was in that context with God and man that he was creating that story, that enduring story through the ages that we're still talking about on this resurrection day. Yes, he came to deliver, to present, to proclaim the good news of God's love. And he did it with his powerful presence, sharing life and love everywhere he went. That's the story. It's the story of his presence. It's the story of his power as he did life with the people. I'll say it again distinctly. Jesus came to do relationships with people. That's how he did it. We've talked about in the past that if you go before and after the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus, you could find him that he just seemed to show up at mealtime, didn't he? Isn't it true? I mean, somebody was having a meal, and who knows, he just may show up at Sunday dinner today for you, wherever you may be. But he did. So much happened connectionally there. And I was thinking about that, and I've shared with you before. I think I have a picture, if I'm not mistaken. But I've said that some of my most memorable times ever in life have happened around tables at mealtime with his family and ours. I can remember specific times where I just never wanted to end because they were so precious. And I thought about that, and I think about Easter Sunday dinner because I'm looking forward to that. Today, the good news is that there's going to be Dixie Diner food all over that table in a few hours, and we're grateful for that. So, what I'm drawing from this fact that Jesus came sharing, that we've got to put ourselves in a position because nobody's going to listen to us unless we're in relationship with them. I know a few times we'll have happenstance, spontaneous meetings, and we can share. People have shared tracts effectively. There's all kinds of ways people have come to Christ. But by far, off the charts, probably more than 90% of people only come to Jesus through relationship. Did you know that that's true? Sure it is, and that's your story as well. So we focused on Good Friday and Passion Week that on the last night, before his arrest, when Jesus met with his disciples in that room, those who were nearest and dearest to him for so long, he commanded them and he commanded us to do this, to take part as he distributed the bread and the wine. He said, do this in remembrance of me. In other words, do this, and as often as you do it, remember me, because I never want you to forget what's happening right before your eyes, front and center. Never forget the Lord's Supper, and that's why we celebrate that from time to time on a regular basis here. He's saying, basically, the things that are unfolding before you, I want you to remember because I want you to keep telling the story. You think you've seen something now, you just wait what happens when you keep telling the story of my death and my resurrection. So Jesus came to share his story. He created the story, if you will. I love it how it unfolds. I was listening to a lot of Easter-style songs this week, and I was thinking of the story song, He's Alive, and it kind of tells the story of not just resurrection, or not just Good Friday, the crucifixion, or the resurrection, but that Friday night and into Saturday, the confusion and all the things that may have been heard there. But you know that the disciples were in despair. They totally missed it, that Jesus predicted his death and predicted he would rise again. And let's pick it up when the ladies, when those went to the tomb and then they told the others. But in Luke 24, 5-8, I just want to read some of those verses to you. Then the men ask, those are the ones that were at the tomb greeting the gals, why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He's risen. He's risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day? Then, the Bible says, they remembered what he had said. The resurrection, the high point of history. People want to disprove it, but they've never been able to. It's a historical fact. If there was anything else that had so many eyewitnesses, so much truth written about, it would be received as gospel. But the enemy wants to come against that in every way he can. But it's a relevant part of history. Here's why. Because people still experience the reality of Easter. And you know, sometimes I feel like we're in danger because we celebrate it as an event more than a life experience that is transformational. And that's our call today. Here's what happened. The disciples' lives were changed. If you read the story, it says in Acts 4:33, it said, the apostles, after all this, testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God's great blessing was upon them all. And by the way, P.S., most of them went to their death being martyred because they proclaimed what they had seen and heard. Those who were cowards, who were afraid to stand up, who betrayed him, after they saw the resurrected Christ, they went to their death proclaiming, he is risen just as he has said. And I want to tell you, when you and I go to the cross and we go to the tomb and we encounter the living Christ, we're no longer into denial either. We will joyfully and proudly proclaim, he is risen, he is alive because he lives in my heart. The disciples powerfully testified about it. The good news of the resurrection that changed everything. Those simple words, he's not here, he's risen. They preached it at every opportunity. You can find those stories in Acts. You can find it various places where that's the crux of their story. That's what Paul preached, the resurrected Christ. I was thinking of my friend Andre Crouch, who you know that I've never met, but I consider him a best friend because his songs have so touched my heart through the years. But one of the favorites, the last time I got to see him live was at Akron University at their theater, whatever that building is called, I forget. E.J. Thomas, is that what it is? And Jerry and Missy Nicewander took us for a pastor kind of appreciation, he was there for Martin Luther King Day. What an incredible night that was as they ministered and shared and prayed with people. But I can still remember we were like in the second or third row, and he came out just him on the piano, and he launched into this, and I won't sing it because Kathy's not here to play it. This could be one she doesn't know, though. I'd like to see it, wouldn't you? I pulled one on her Friday night. but listen, it's not just a story. Jesus created a story that's real to us today. Listen to what the simple, if you could just hear Andre singing, pull it up on YouTube, not now, but later, or some. Listen to it. He sang, I heard the story of Jesus, sounded like music in my ears. Beautiful story of Jesus dispelled my doubts and all my fears. How marvelous is his love brought to me from above. Oh, it's not just a story, but reality. Second verse, beautiful story of Jesus. This world is longing to know. Wonderful story of Jesus. I'll take it wherever I go. Tell of his love for this world to save every man, woman, boy, and girl. Oh, it's not just a story. No, it's not just a story. Oh, that plain and simple story became real to me. Has the Easter story become real to you? I'm afraid sometimes we go through the motions and we think because we know it, we've experienced it. But if you experienced it, how many of you know that the resurrection changed everything? And it's going to change you from the inside out. Oh my, what a story we have to share. Transforming power of the crucifixion and the resurrection, the empty cross and the empty grave. We're not to share it again as an event, but something that we have entered into, a life experience, a reality. I encourage you. I thought about I wanted to play a version of He's Alive this morning. You know that Don Francisco song? Anybody remember that? He's Alive. It's a story song, and I don't particularly like story songs for the most part. But over this last weekend, I listened to some extremes. I listened to Dolly Parton sing. Anybody heard Dolly Parton? She knocked it out of the park. I watched David Phelps with the Gaither of Gaither Lore, that high tenor. He did a version. And then I found one of Charlie Daniels. Remember Charlie Daniels' band? The Devil Went Down to Georgia. I mean to tell you, they knocked it out. And when it came to that chorus, He's alive, He's alive, He's alive, and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. That's the story that we have to tell. He's alive. That changes everything. That's our hope and our future. This isn't all there is. And so now we get to share the presence. He came to do that. All right, let's look at it. We've established that He did it before. Of course, He was crucified. We know that. But listen to what it says in Acts 1:3. During the 40 days after His crucifixion, He appeared, I put parenthetically, in person, to the apostles from time to time, and He proved to them in many ways that He was actually alive. I'm telling you, Jesus did everything in the context of relationships. He did it before He went to the cross. He did it afterwards. He showed that it was real because He was there. He showed up. He showed up for people after He came out of the grave. He moved among them. Not just them, but there were many other, the Bible testifies, eyewitnesses that had seen Him die but saw Him alive before and after the tomb. What a powerful truth. And Jesus, if you look at the different passages and stories that I mentioned, He kind of interrupted people when they were gathered by whatever means and whatever means. But a lot of times it was about mealtime, like when they were fishing or when they were cooking by a fire. Whatever the case may be, Jesus came. He was setting the table, if you will, and saying, go thou and do likewise. I want you to show up for people just like I showed up for you before and after, because that's the way that they're going to know I'm real. Did you hear that? Only in us showing up for people with the love of Christ within us, that's the only way that they're really going to know that He's real. Because our relationship is going to be powerful testimony of what He's done. I won't take time to read it, but in Acts chapter 2, if you read verses 42 through 47, because Jesus set the table for connection and gathering together, for hanging out, doing life with people, the early church just exploded. And that was the means. The Bible says over and over, they gathered together and they shared everything they had. They took meals together. They hung out together. They devoted themselves to relationship, to community, to connectedness. And I want to tell you, nothing has ever changed, because we can't do a Christ life in isolation. We were never meant to. Like, okay, you got the good news, right? You said yes to Jesus. Okay, you take it and run. Go and keep it to yourself. Do you find that in Scripture anywhere? You go and keep it to yourself? No. We receive it so we can share it, so we can pass it on everywhere we go. But we've got to do that like Jesus did, by showing up. As I think of the years I've been here, these, 26 years, and plus I can think of high water moments and marks of Worcester and As Gathering. They are when we are most devoted to relationships. And remarkably, I would say that the health and the life of Worcester and as a church family, we're the healthiest we've ever been in the 26 years I've been here. Isn't that to the credit and the glory of God? We've had to find creative ways together. I get so blessed when I hear about groups meeting outside, doing creative things, all the things they've done, or meeting in smaller places. It's amazing. Aren't you glad that we've still been able to take this journey together? It is so necessary. Jesus shows up when we show up. Presence is a huge factor. It still is. Listen, God's presence is most evidence in our presence. The gathering of Jesus, that's us. Whatever the brand may be, those who have said yes at the cross to Jesus and are living in resurrection power. And Acts says it, just summarizing it, said, because of the disciples living after Jesus set the table and gathering together, it says basically the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved as they met together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God. They enjoyed the favor of the people. I love that. The same is true for us. Well, isolation doesn't work in our spiritual journey. It doesn't work. He's calling us to be creative, to keep walking among the people, to touch lives, and to make a difference. I think of on Thursday, I was walking the halls, and I think we have a mom's gathering. They meet, I think, once a month there, and in the summer they go, and the women's ministries have Bible studies. But I just love it, especially on Thursday, and I always try to wear my tag, like I forgot to greet some of you, and I saw some of you, you came up this morning, you're looking at me like, who are you? And now you know who I am, that I'm up here, but you didn't know who I was when I said hi to you and patted you on the shoulder. I wear my badge, I forgot it. But I told somebody this week, I always wear my badge when I go in that room because there's all kind of women gathered in that room, and I don't want them to think I'm some kind of weirdo, just, you know, stalking the women in the room. But what I love is, I love the interaction, because so much that has happened through that ministry, a ministry like that, so many relationships are formed and people are cared for. And I know what happens. I'm going, yay, because the women come, and those that have husbands, then before long, they're dragging their husbands into church. I mean, there are skid marks in the parking lot where they have their heels dug in, but they bring them anything because, you know, mama rules in the house, right? I love it. Those are precious times. There's just something about gathering together and finding creative ways to be connected. Don't stop. Don't stop. So appreciative of that. And we've got to continue to expand our NAS groups and just get people connected, 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 connected. That's what Jesus said. That's going to be my vehicle for taking the good news. Will you be a part of that? So we talk all the time about saying Y2J. We have shirts and an emblem about it. But yes to Jesus simply means Y2J, that we say yes to a relationship with Jesus. And I want to say that when we say that from our heart, we begin a shared relationship. It's not a solo journey. It's not just me and Jesus, but we begin a shared relationship with Jesus and his people. If we don't think we can do it with his people, then we don't want to go to heaven, because Jesus is going to be there, but all those people that bug you are going to be there too, probably. And they're going to live next door, like my neighbor, Mrs. Searfoss, that I haven't mentioned for a long time. She probably just slipped in at the last moment somehow, and she'll be right next door to me. I don't know. I may think I'm in the wrong place if that happens, you know. But here's what I'm saying. I love events like this. I love Friday nights of worship, Christmas worship. I love the thing we're going to do in the summer at the end of July with another night of worship. But that's not going to really change anybody's life unless they encounter Jesus, unless they experience him. Unless we decide what to do with what Jesus has done for us and in us. And that's why so many of you are struggling. You don't know why it's so rough, because you think, you know it all happened. You even would say you believe that it happened, but you haven't put your faith and trust in Jesus, and his presence is not living inside of you. And I say often, but we think mistakenly, say, oh, I'm God's child because he created me. No, you're not. We're only in God's family by choice. Everybody's invited if we make the trip to the cross and humble ourselves and say, Jesus, come into my heart. Are you with me on that? Have you taken that journey? That's what matters moving forward. Okay, so because of Jesus' presence, he taught us that our presence is so important in people's lives. One of the most important things that I do that I've missed, I try to do weekly, a week effort today, is greeting people. Because I know if I can touch people, that'll make a difference, even if you don't know me, how you might receive the truth of God's word that I'm delivering. What do you think is the most draining thing that I do on Sunday morning? It's not speaking, that is draining. It's trying my best to greet all of you, because I believe that relationships are so critical. You matter. I matter. I want to say it again, because we're the vehicle that takes the message of Jesus forward. Right? That's what's going to make it believable in your neighborhood. I wanted our neighbors, Dixie and our neighbors, I wanted them to know us for who we were, not as pastor and wife, but just as people that were loving and caring. I wanted to represent Jesus well, so that if they found out I was a pastor, they wouldn't be disappointed. They wouldn't be disillusioned. Relationships matter. Listen to me. Some of you know you have kids maybe that have wandered away from the Lord, or just they're far away and you can't be together even today, and your heart aches for that, and how it just makes your heart burn within you, and it warms your heart so much when people somewhere else reach out and love them with the love of Jesus, right? And sometimes when our kids are grand, are wayward, and they turn away from Jesus, we sometimes aren't the ones to meet them. But how many of you know they've been someplace far, and God plants somebody right in their lives that invades their life with the love of Christ, and they think, I can't get away from it. I might as well submit and surrender. He works through the likes of us, you. I don't care where you are. Don't think you're checking out because you're 65 or 60 or 50 or 40 and retired or whatever you are. We're not going to coast. We never have an exemption from sharing the love of Jesus wherever we are, because his presence shows up through us. Okay, and finally, then it's through the presence, our presence, his presence in us and through us, that we can share the power. It's not about us, it's about him. But I want to tell you, when we experience Easter, we have resurrection power living on the inside of us. And we're going to sing that in just a little bit. Listen. It's not just a trip to the cross, and I'm not minimizing that, but we are forgiven of our sin, and space is made so that we can receive him and receive the Holy Spirit, and our lives can become a dynamic force releasing his resurrection power wherever we go. Why? Because he's living in us. Do we believe that? That's why the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, I'm here, and that's great, but I'm going, the Holy Spirit's going to come, and he'll live in you. I'm thankful for the cross, because that's where Jesus was hung and lifted high. And he said, I'll draw people to you. And that's where he was, that's where he was Savior, and we claim him as that. But I want to tell you, coming out of the grave, to me, that says he is Lord of all. As we sang at the beginning, there's nothing that can stop him. Nothing at all. Share the power. I go back to the words of Jesus that I read last week from Luke 4:18. He said, remember, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. We've talked about what that good news looked like. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released. That's resurrection power. That blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. I want to tell you, the time of the Lord's favor has come. Will you receive it? I love a song. I just heard it this week for the first time. I want you to encourage you to get it, to listen to it. It's a Chris Tomlin, I think, Friends. It's a song called Power. Have you heard it yet? Pull it up. Just the chorus. We'll be singing this for sure. We're not going to wait till next Easter. This will be in our rotation soon. Listen, I can still, it just gives me goosebumps. He sings, there's wonder-working power, Holy Spirit power, great redeeming power, power in the name, resurrection power, bondage-breaking power, power in the name of Jesus. Do you believe that? That's the power who lives in us. The power that rolled away the stone, that said, you can't keep a good man down. He's living in us. Oh, that's great. Resurrection power. Bondage-breaking power. That's the favor of the Lord. That's what he came to do. He didn't come to just leave you in your mess. He came to transform your life. But we got to go palms up. That's why we get in the jam. Well, God, why is this happening? All that. Hey, he says, you just go palms up. Don't try to figure it all out. You just come to me and let your identity, as I often say, just be, I am a child of God. You watch me work in and through you. But you got to go palms up. Listen to what it says in Philippians 3:10. Now, I have given up everything. This is Paul speaking. Everything else, you know, Paul, I mean, brilliant man. He said, I have found it to be the only way to really know Christ. Would you please say, know Christ? And then he amplifies it. And to experience, say experience, the mighty power that brought him back to life again. And to find out what it means to suffer and die with him. Just because you have resurrection power doesn't mean there's going to be some snags and snafus along the way. How many of you know that those are some of the best opportunities to share Christ in the middle of life? I mean, real life as it comes and goes. And then in Ephesians 1:19, I pray that you will begin to understand how incredibly great his power is to help those who believe in him. It is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the place of honor at God's right hand in heaven. That you may know, that you may experience resurrection power in your life that can break the patterns, break the problems that have dominated your life for so long. The answer is in Jesus, but here it is. I jotted down Jesus' love to talk about dying to self, as in Luke 9:23, and I didn't put the verse in there, I don't believe, but he said, I want you now to take up your cross daily, deny yourself, and follow me. Deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. Listen. Going selfless, dying out, is more than just giving Jesus our sin and surrendering our sin to him, and that's the start. But I want to tell you, that has everything to do with the capacity of your power grid for resurrection power living in you. You follow me? We surrender things that are cluttering and taking up space that he wants to occupy with resurrection power. The more place and space that you allow and give, the more he will do great and mighty things. But we clutter and we settle for just a trickle. We just want to give him a little bit, but he says, no, I want everything. You create space. You just go palms up and you watch me work. Dying to self, resurrection power living inside of us. Surrender. I surrender. We can truly only share with credibility our presence and the power of his presence in us what we have experienced. Resurrection power flowing to us and through us. Well, let me wrap it up. You all know what that means. It means Kathy's going to come through the door any moment. She's alive. She's alive. Okay, I've said all that to say this. Easter weekend isn't just an event that we celebrate and get a new shirt for or whatever. It's a relational experience, and we not only need Friday, but we need Sunday too. We got to go to the cross. There's no other way to Jesus but to and through the cross. How many of you know that's to be true? But aren't you glad that wasn't all there was? Aren't you glad that we don't worship and bow before a cross on which Jesus is still impaled? We've got to go to the tomb. We must recognize him not only as Savior, but also Lord of all. Nothing can hold him down. So what does the scripture say? Very simply in Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, resurrection, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Not might, not if you feel this way or that, not if you clean yourself up first, but he said, if you just come to me as you are and believe, I'll do the work that you could never do. It's not about trying harder, it's about surrendering more. Oh, I would if my husband or my wife would do different. Quit looking at them, look at him, look at Jesus. You may be the key for their salvation if they see resurrection power living in you that's evidenced in tough times. Could be. John 11:25. Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live, even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. But here's the question, this haunting question. Do you believe this? In other words, are you going to let your weight down upon this truth? Nobody can do it for you. No matter how much of a praying grandmother or father or grandfather you had, or what your spirit parents' pedigree is, you have to stand on your own and make this decision. Lord, I believe in my heart, I confess with my mouth that you have been raised from the dead. Have you taken that step? You know, I just jotted down in the margin, I was going over my notes again, why not? What in the world would keep you from making this step, from receiving resurrection power? Aren't you tired? Aren't you worn out trying to do it yourself, being right enough, good enough, whatever? Let him do what you could never do. You can't forgive your own sin. You can't forgive the other people's sins and make them holy. You can forgive them for their acts, but you can't set them right with God. But there is one. So I want to repeat just what I did in closing on Friday night. that all of us fall in a category here. I'll just call it A, B, C, D. I try to come up with things that are very, very easily remembered. And I have a card made up here, and I may use them at some point in time in some way, but just look at that and see these boxes, and I just want you to mentally at least or inwardly check the box that you fall in, because we all fall in one of these areas. A, I'm already in relationship with Jesus. Hey, I'm not trying to talk you out of it, and I'm not trying to talk you into it. I'm just trying to present the truth of God's word. But I'm thankful for that. Some of you out there watching online, you're rejoicing because you're a different person than you were a year ago because you have believed in a risen Christ. B stands for this. I'm beginning a relationship with Jesus. And I believe that through this weekend, people are saying specifically yes to Jesus. Not just I want to feel a certain way, but I'm coming to the cross and I agree and I say yes to what he's done and I receive it. I repent and turn from my sin and I receive all that he has for me. A lot of people fall in the C category, and it's simply this: I'm considering a relationship with Jesus. That's great, and that's okay. How long will you consider? Because you're still going to have to come to a decision. Are you with me? We have to make a decision. One day we stand before God, we'll have to give an account for the decision we made at some point to say yes. Or as I often use when I'm sharing the gospel, you don't wake up one morning and you're married. You stood before a pastor or a judge and said, I do. And we're going to have to give an account for that. And then there are some that would fall into this category, D, letter D. I'm declining a relationship with Jesus. Okay, that's okay, because really in choosing not to make a decision, it could be that that's your place, you're declining. But Jesus still invites you to come. And my prayer is that even if you're deciding that now, that pushing him away and saying, that's not for me, I know that he will still work and still pursue you and draw you to yourself. And I pray that you'll come to that point of beginning a relationship with him. Would you bow your heads and pray with me right where you are? Could be in your home, in Florida, Arizona, California, right now. Would you just make your heart an altar and just say, Lord, where am I? Am I A, B, C? I'm already in relationship with you. I want to begin it. I want to consider it. I want to think about it. I want to embrace this truth. Or Lord, I'm just declining. I'm not ready. Could you place yourself in one of those? You have to be someplace. And would you just pray with me in your heart? You can say in your own words, in your own way, but Lord, today, in this Easter season, I realize that to get to the empty tomb, I have to go by the empty cross. And I confess that I've tried to do it on my own, and I'm just about worn out. So I want to humbly give you my sin, all of it. I ask for and I receive, as you've promised, your forgiveness. And I receive it into my heart and life right now. Lord, I'm going palms up and surrender, and I want you to be Lord of my life. And I want you to fill that place and space. I need resurrection power so that I can be a presence in this world, so that I can share the story, so that your power might live through me in real, tangible ways to touch people's lives. For some, you're saying, Lord, I've been far from you. I used to be here, but I've wandered far from you, and I'm coming back to the heart of worship. I'm coming back. I want your resurrection to be the very real driving force of my life. I want to live to share that story, the good news that Jesus came to release resurrection power, to set captives free from their sin. And I pray that, not looking for a specific feeling, but by faith I receive it, because you've said, if you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. And I thank you for those here and there who are making that decision right here, right now. We bless your name. And we pray it all in the life-giving name of Jesus that we are so thankful for. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.